This is Digital Story Podcast number 705, September 17th, 2019. Today's theme is Time for a New Bag in Triple Cam Trippin'. I'm Derek Story. Sometimes you open up the closet, peruse your options, and mumble to yourself, I just don't have anything to wear. In this case, I'm talking about camera bags. I have all of these great adventures lined up, and none of my existing carrying solutions feel right. So I did something about it. Also this week, I take a peek at the new triple camera trend in smartphones. Maybe we don't need a bag after all. All of this today on the Digital Story Podcast. So nobody wants to explore the magnificent redwoods with a suitcase in hand, right? Now, I wasn't planning on doing that, but my existing urban gear just did not feel appropriate for this upcoming adventure that starts, yes, today, as a matter of fact. And my current backpacks look like they have thousands of dollars of gear inside, which I'm not crazy about that either for these next few trips I have. I wanted something that was more like The Big Lebowski and less like Wall Street Goes to the Forest. So I made a checklist of the features that I wanted, starting with casual vibe, and began nosing around the internet. And what I found was the Vanguard Havana 48 for $103. And the 48 stands for 48 liters, so it's a nice big bag. Now, my first impression was that I hit pay dirt, okay, when I saw it online. But how did it hold up during testing? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today, along with triple cameras and smartphones and all that kind of stuff. But going back to the Havana, was it all looks and no brains? Well, all right, let's start with the features that are important to me. First of all, I need lots of room for this particular bag. This is my point A to point B gear bag. Now, this is a concept that I learned actually when I was working at LowPro, which is we have different bags for different uses. In other words, our point A to point B bag, that's the bag that goes from the house to the hotel. So we basically have all of our gear in it, and the reason being is that if we're going on a plane, we don't want to check any of our camera gear or computer gear, any of that stuff. We want to have it with us. And when we're traveling about in the world, we want to have our most valuable stuff as close to us as possible. So having one bag that fits all of that stuff that we can slide under the airline seat in front of us, or that will fit in a overhead rack on a bus, you know, any of those kinds of places, that's a very important gear bag. Now, once we get to the destination, then we can use smaller bags and only carry part of our gear with us. And that's sort of the thinking. And that's a whole different bag. That is the working bag. But what I was looking for with this new backpack was a point A to point B gear bag. And with 48 liters of space, the Havana can take care of that quite nicely. Another thing I wanted to look more like a regular backpack than a photo bag. Now, I have some really cool photo backpacks right now, but they very much look like I'm carrying around a lot of expensive gear. And I wanted something that was more casual, more like a normal backpack, more like you would see up in the redwoods where I'm going to be, or, you know, on a vacation destination, something like that. So I did not want something that looked like, hey, I've got $20,000 worth of gear in here. So that was another requirement. And again, the Havana checks that item off the list quite well. I also want it to be versatile. And, you know, the best way for it to be versatile is to have removable inserts, removable camera boxes, all that kind of stuff. And the Havana does this nicely. It's basically a big backpack divided into two sections. The bottom section has a camera box, you know, a padded box that is Velcroed in, and then you can pull it out. And in there, I keep my working camera, and it sort of opens up like a drawer at the bottom. Now, if I want to use that space for something else, I can pull the camera box out, put it in the hotel safe, and then just use it as a regular backpack. And in fact, the divider that separates the bottom part from the top part of the backpack, that's also Velcroed. So you can open that up and just have that whole 48 liters just for, you know, whatever you want to put in there. A giant lunch and clothing, you know, that kind of stuff, all right? So, you know, allowing me to use this backpack many different ways is super important to me. Now, what I'm doing on the top is that I am putting in essentially my own inserts. Sometimes I have a ThinkTank Mirrorless Mover up there, which is a shoulder bag, which works nice for organizing. But then once I get to my destination, I can use it as my walk around. For the Redwoods workshop that I'm leaving for here in just a few hours, I have in the top, I have the Spark drone, my drone, the whole kit. You know, I have a little battery charger, all that stuff. All fits in a nice case. Love that drone, by the way, still. And then I have a film camera. So all of that fits up top too. And this is in addition to my regular Olympus pen and, you know, and all my lenses and stuff that's in the bottom box. So this is a very versatile bag, and I really love being able to customize it any way that I need to. Another thing I needed was a comfortable harness system. I don't plan on wearing it for extended periods, but you never know when you're on the road when suddenly you might have to hoof it for a long distance. So in those instances where I might have to do that, it needs to be comfortable. And so the harness system is great. Has a tuck-away waist belt. So I do have a waist belt, but it stays out of the way when I'm not using it. Has a breast strap that I take off and stash with me, but if I needed to go on a long haul, I would attach it. You know, it has all that kind of stuff. It's super comfy. It's really, really nice that way. Plus, other things that I wanted was a rain cover, which it has, a trolley sleeve, which is very clever. It's on the back, and it has a Velcro holder so that it's up against the back of the pack. But then if I want to slide the backpack over the handle of a rolling suitcase, then you just pop that out and you got that nice little sleeve that allows you to attach it to the handle of your rolling suitcase. Again, this is a must-have item for me these days. I need fast laptop access, and it has that. It has, the laptop is stored in the back of the backpack, and it has a separate compartment. I can get to it in just seconds, and it holds nice big laptops too. I have a 13 inch and it swims in there. A 15 inch will fit in there quite easily. So it can hold up to a 15 inch laptop, which for a lot of folks that like those little bigger laptops, that is a real plus. I needed easy iPad access because the iPad's what I use a lot when I'm hanging around airports or, you know, just when I'm on the road and I don't want to pull out the whole laptop. I don't have a lot of space. I love the iPad mini. I have the iPad mini 5 with the Apple Pencil. And I have a pocket in the front of the Havana 48 that just works great for the iPad. I can get to it, boom, just like that. And it looks like it was designed for the iPad mini. So I love that. So it has that as well. Has dual water bottle pockets, one on each side, and it has this cool little drawstring to cinch them up, which I think is just a wonderful design feature. If I just want to go one water bottle and I want to carry a tripod, it can accommodate that on one side. Use the pocket for two of the feet, and then it has a strap halfway up the backpack that you can use to secure the tripod. It's designed for that. I tested it, it works quite well. So you can carry a tripod and a water bottle as well. And then the last thing, affordable. I didn't really have budget for this. I didn't want to spend $250 on a backpack. And the fact that I could get it for $103, I have the link to it in the show notes so you can click on it and just go right over $103 with free shipping. That's pretty nice. And the price is quite good, especially for a backpack that's so well designed and seems durable, at least after a month of use. So my bottom line on this is I really like feeling like the dude with just a regular backpack that has all my gear inside. And for instance, on this pack that I'm taking up to Humboldt for the workshop, I have the Spark with its charger cradle and three batteries. I have that in the top. I have a Pentax Program Plus with a 50mm f1.4 film camera up there atop, and I have my Fujifilm XF10 in a case up there on top. That's just in the top compartment. The bottom compartment, I have the Pen-F mirrorless camera. I have my 12mm f2 down there. I have the 45mm f1.8, Panasonic 20mm f1.7, and then, of course, the 14 to 42 easy zoom. Always like having that with me just for banging around and taking quick shots. That's in there. And then I also have my accessory bag down there in the bottom. I have a rain jacket packed away in there. I have a water bottle on one side. The other pocket I'm just leaving open in case I need it. And then I have, you know, personal things. I have carry around a little bamboo fork, knife, and spoon kit. I have my sweetener, my xylitol sweetener for my coffee when I'm on the road. You know, I have all that sort of stuff with me as well. And then I have the 13-inch MacBook Pro in the laptop sleeve. So there is a lot of stuff in there, and it handles it no problem. And I still have a stash room if I need to stuff something else in there really quick. This will make it easy for me to get from point A to point B. And then once I'm there in the Redwoods, then I can decide what I need at any given moment and use a smaller bag to carry that stuff around. A lot of the things that I have in the Havana 48 are already in smaller bags that have straps. So, for instance, with the Pentax, it's in a little bag all by itself, nice and snug, with a strap. So if I want to go shoot some film, all I got to do is just throw it over my shoulder and off I go. So I like doing that. I like having those options. I don't like screwing around with stuff when I'm on the road. I want to grab what I want and go do it, right? Just go get it done, sort it all out later. So this Havana 48, after a month of testing, it has held up really super well. Now I got a couple trips coming up. If anything changes from what I told you today, I'll do an update on the podcast. Also, you should know that I have a full written review on the Digital Story, and I have lots of pictures. I have pictures of the top, the bottom, the side, you know, the harness system, all that kind of stuff. All that is in the review, so you can check that out. I have a link to the review in the show notes, and I have a link to the $103 price for it in the show notes as well. So all of that's there. Just like I always say, if you want to follow up on something I talk about on the show, go to the show notes. The links are there waiting for you. A big thumbs up on the Havana 48. I love the way it looks. I like using it, and it just checks off every box on my list, and that is a good feeling. When I open up the closet now, I can just say hello to those other bags, but this is the one I'm taking to the Redwoods. Thoughts on the new triple camera iPhone. So the iPhone 11 Pro is not the first smartphone with a triple camera, but it is definitely falling into line with a trend that we're seeing, which is three complete camera modules for the high-end smartphones. Photography is really, really taking off on these devices, and all these companies are getting quite serious about the camera capability in their phones. Some people are arguing that Apple, for example, is now a camera company in addition to everything else that it's doing. After we talk about this triple camera iPhone 11 Pro that was just announced, and I think you could place orders for it on Friday, this past Friday, you might agree that indeed Apple is a serious camera company now as well. So what is exactly a triple camera phone? All right. Well, we'll use the iPhone 11 as an example. I have specs on that, but basically, this is the way most of them are falling into line. So there are three separate cameras integrated into one device. And each camera is interesting, and then they're sort of stitched together with software. In other words, yes, you can use each camera individually, but then some of the magic that happens is when the software is leveraging more than one camera. And that is fascinating stuff. That's where it really gets into the magic of it all. But let's look at the three separate cameras for the iPhone 11 Pro. The first one, and the one that they have just introduced, is the 13-millimeter ultra-wide camera. So I'm sure they thought about, okay, what should we do? We've already got a regular wide camera, and we have what we call a telephoto camera. I don't call it that. I'm going to talk about those two in a minute. So what should we do? So it's either, okay, let's go more telephoto, or let's go wider. They opted to go wider with a 13-millimeter equivalent field of view camera. And now it has a f2.4 aperture. It features a 5-element lens, and it has a 120-degree field of view. So that's pretty crazy stuff. It's a 12-megapixel sensor as well. So that's the new one that's in the triple lineup, the ultra-wide 13-millimeter with 12 megapixels. Now, the second camera is one that we're all used to, which is the wide camera. And this is the 26-millimeter equivalent focal length, and it has a nice, fast f1.8 aperture. So this is the workhorse camera on most top-tier smartphones, this wide camera. It captures a wide enough field of view so that you can do scenics, you can do selfies with it, you can do all sorts of stuff, and it seems wide enough to do it. Apple's latest has a 6-element lens, it has optical stabilization, and it has a 12-megapixel sensor. So that is the workhorse wide camera, 26 millimeters, f1.8. And then they have what they call the telephoto camera, which I think is sort of funny because it's a 52-millimeter equivalent. I consider that more or less a normal lens, not a telephoto. And on the iPhone 11 Pro, it is a f2.0. So they increased the maximum aperture bit on it because the telephoto camera on my iPhone 10 is f2.4. So the new one's a bit faster, and it also has optical stabilization. This is the camera that actually really needs the optical stabilization, although it's nice to have on the wide camera too. But on the 52 millimeters where you really want it, and it has a 12 megapixel sensor. Now, it's interesting when you look at these three cameras, how they sort of double, right? So you've got the 13 millimeter, then you have the 26 millimeter, and then you have the 52 millimeter, and I'm sure that's no accident at all. And it allows them to say then that the iPhone 11 Pro provides a 4x optical zoom range. And of course, that's much different than digital zoom. So you can, you know, pinch the zoom all you want and do digital zoom with some of these phones. That is a much different deal than having optical zoom, especially with image stabilization, which these have. And you know, these are serious lenses. You know, the ultra wide is a 5-element lens, it's a 6-element lens on the wide camera, and then how many elements here? I don't see how many elements on the telephoto, but I'm sure it's around 5 or 6 as well. Okay, so these are standalone cameras that are optically nice. And this provides you with a true optical 4x zoom range. And remember, two of those cameras have optical image stabilization as well. So this is serious camera business, as we would say. And then you start adding the other features, the computational photography features, such as night mode, portrait mode, smart HDR. And you can really see why people consider Apple a camera company as well as a manufacturer of computers and tablets and phones. They've also, by the way, brightened the flash by 36%, which I think is super important. There isn't much discussion around it, but I just ran an article on the Digital Story, oh, I don't know, about a week and a half ago, about one of the reasons why I carry my Fujifilm XF10 with me is because it has a real fill flash that I can use in bright backlit situations. And by enhancing the fill flash on the iPhone 11 Pro, then, you know, that helps offset that difference between my standalone camera and the phone that I'm carrying in my pocket. They also improve the display as well, and you know, they have just these beautiful, beautiful, some version of Retina display on all these phones, and they look great, and they really do make your images look wonderful while you're lining them up to take them, but also when you review them later on. You're just looking at them on your iPhone. And of course, with iOS 13, you're going to be able to do a lot more editing in photos than we could before, especially with video. And that's the other thing, you know, these cameras capture 4K video as well. You know, what's my bottom line on these triple camera phones? I think they're great. I really do. You know, I feel bad for companies that, you know, have a product that, you know, for instance, the companies that have clip-on lenses for smartphones so that you could have an ultra-wide and so that you could have a telephoto and all that. You know, but as a consumer, having this all built into the phone itself and not having to carry any accessories at all, zero accessories, and have all this capability that I just talked about, I think is really good stuff. I have an iPhone 10, so, okay, so it's been 2 years, so I'm getting to the point where I would feel okay about upgrading if I really needed, but my iPhone 10 has the wide-angle camera, and it has a telephoto camera. I'm sorry, I laugh every time I say that. It has a 52mm f2.4 camera, and right now, that's still working quite well for me. So I think I'm just going to enjoy having a year with no phone payments and hang out and wait and see what comes after the iPhone 11 the following year. One of the reasons why also is because I think the next phone that I invest in, I do want 5G in it, real 5G. And I think they will probably have that in the next iteration of the iPhone. My iPhone 10 is a really good, really good camera, really good phone. So I'm doing fine. And I'm figuring that the next iPhone that I buy will probably be a 3-year phone as well. So I do want to have 5G and I don't want to go 3 years without 5G. So I'm just going to hang out and wait. But I tell you, if someone just, you know, put one of these iPhone 11 Pros in my hand with a triple camera on the back, yeah, I would go shoot with it and I would have fun. And, you know, I really can't wait to see what photographers do with these. I like the triple camera phones. The looks don't bother me at all. The back, you know, the back doesn't bother me at all. And I love having this capability, this wonderful, wonderful capability built right into the device. It's very, very nice. Humboldt Redwoods Workshop. This week, yes, I alluded to it in the top story, but I'm heading out. I've got the Audi packed, and I'm ready to head up to the Redwoods. And oh man, you know, we have a great situation. So it's raining up there right now, not too heavy. It's just sort of a light to medium rain, and it's going to rain off and on through Wednesday, which is the first real day of the workshop. I'm going to be up there on Tuesday. So, you know, the Redwoods are great to be in, but when the Redwoods are wet, they are fantastic to be in. It's a whole another ball game. So the fact that the rain's coming in is going to clean everything up. You're going to get all those wonderful Redwood smells. The banana slugs are going to come out. You know, all this stuff that really makes the Redwood Forest this magical place is going to happen. And then on Thursday and Friday, the second and third day of the workshop, the rain is supposed to stop. So then we're just going to have, I'm guessing, these beautiful blue skies with clouds and all this kind of stuff. So, oh my gosh, I am so happy. And I don't mind, you know, when you're in a redwood grove, and if the rain isn't too hard, if it's just these light to medium storms, it's actually quite comfortable and really not that bad at all. You know, I'll have a light jacket on. So I am so looking forward to the shoot. I've got a wonderful crew joining me in the Redwoods, and we're going to have a blast. So stay tuned to all the usual channels, our Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff, so you can catch a few updates. And then also, as we're talking about this workshop, as it's going on, keep in mind, I'm going to announce the 2020 season. I'm going to announce it in October, next month. I'm announcing the next workshop season. And I'll let you know on the podcast for sure. We'll go over it. Hopefully this is your year to join me. This year's workshop season has just been fabulous. Every year is, you know, super enjoyable and successful. But I feel like they're gaining momentum. I really do. And I think in part because, you know, we can really connect with one another on these photography workshops that we can't in other ways. So when I announce the 2020 lineup, take a look at it. Think about it. Come out and join me. If you can just get away, even for 4 days, it will change your photography life. I promise you. But right now, we've got big trees to focus on. More to come on that. I have a little virtual camera club business. Big thanks to our Inner Circle members. We have quite a few of them joining us up in the Humboldt Redwoods. Thank you so much. And we have some new signups. Welcome aboard if you're a new Inner Circle member. So happy to have you. You are the folks that keep this machine rolling, keep the podcast on the air, help me with the workshops, all that kind of stuff. Thank you so much. We have a great Inner Circle site. It's our Patreon site. All you have to do is go to The Digital Story, click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story, go over to the site, nose around, and consider becoming an Inner Circle member. Help support this effort. Help keep this community alive and well. And again, a big thanks to our members. Coming up in October and November, on October 12th and November 9th, we have the Podcasting Skills course. If you want to know how this whole thing works from start to finish, from soup to nuts, if you're interested in podcasting, just so that you understand what's going on, podcasting is so popular right now, or if you're considering starting your own podcast, I encourage you to sign up for this course. All you have to do is go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on workshops, and you'll see the two course offerings right there. And of course, I have a link in the show notes, October 12th, November 9th. Join me for the podcasting skills course. I think you will find it very illuminating. I have B&H and Amazon tiles on all the pages of Digital Story. If you're going to get something such as this backpack I talked about, or that little mirrorless mover I talked about that I keep in the backpack, or any number of other goodies to enhance your photography life, your audio life, all that kind of stuff, please go to the site, click on either the B&H tile or the Amazon tile first. It'll take you to a specials page. You can peruse the specials, but then just go ahead and search for what you want. By doing so, you help support the site, and thank you very much. And finally, a huge thank you to our friends at Red River Paper. I know that they are pointing to, I think this very week, so if you get the newsletter, my article about using their fine art paper, 11 by 14 size, for Micro Four Thirds cameras, because a Micro Four Thirds sensor and 11 by 14 sheet of paper are almost the same dimensions, and so you can just print easily. You can just, if you want to print full frame, you can basically do that with the 11 by 14 paper. And of course, Red River Paper has a huge selection of 11 by 14, and they have everything else from greeting cards to museum quality paper. They're starting to upgrade their look in terms of their packaging. It looks really nice. You might want to go to the site and check that out as well. If you want some paper, if you want some ink, tutorials, anything you need to know about inkjet printing, click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Go over there, get some paper, make some prints, and feel like an artist, because you know what? You are. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I am ready to go. I have my backpack packed, and I'm heading out to the Redwoods. I'll keep you posted on what's going on. Might be a little bit more quiet this week than usual, but I'll be back next Tuesday with another podcast. Please come and join me. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.